Well, she started off real good because she said the guest speaker, I'm not a preacher. I've not been called to preach. And even though I'm an ordained deacon, I still know that unless God called me to stand behind that pulpit, I won't be behind that pulpit. There is so much today, things that goes on nowadays, a lot of people go, and most of it is because the money that's involved. Knowing that God has not called them, but because they've learned the Bible, and you know, the devil knew the Bible. So all I'm saying is that I'm glad God has got me in a position that I'm in. I'm not a teacher. I consider myself to be a person that have concern for people in life themselves. So with that said, this morning, I'm going to talk to you guys. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to get you involved in with me this morning. I'm going to ask you, do you remember when you got baptized? Do you remember why you got baptized? And after you got baptized, did life change for you? You see, my Bible tells me that baptized is only one of two things. In order to earn our seat in heaven among our Father. Being baptized, that's a commandment, to be baptized. But it also says you must believe. And if you don't believe, that it also says that you are condemned. So believing in Jesus Christ that he is our own personal Savior, that's not something that a preacher can tell you to do. That's not something that your mother or father can tell you to do. That's something that's got to come from you, from within. You got to believe for yourself that God is your personal Savior, that he will hear and answer all of your prayers. So, you know, we talk about baptizing, and a lot of us got baptized as a child. I didn't. But a lot of you get baptized as a child, and for some reason you got baptized because everybody else in church was getting baptized. Your friend was getting baptized. So you thought, I might as well go in and get baptized with my friend. Well, I'm not going to say that's the wrong thing because God said you must be baptized, but you got to know why you got baptized. A lot of us got baptized because our parents say it's time to get baptized. I even know one person that got baptized because the lady he was going to marry said, I ain't marrying you until you're baptized. I won't say who that is either. But, oh, I got a amen from that. But there is a lot of different reasons why you got baptized. And then there are some reasons why you haven't been baptized. Because maybe you really don't believe. And you have to believe. It goes hand in hand. Baptizing and believing goes hand in hand. You know, sometimes we only find ourselves calling on God or Jesus when we're having trouble in our life. You know, we can go day in and day out, and if everything is going good, we never thank God for waking us up this morning. Do you know that sleep, they say, is the closest kin to death itself? And no matter how hard you try, you could not wake yourself up in the morning unless God touch you and allow you to wake up. We don't never think about that. We think when the alarm goes off on the clock woke you up. You can hear that alarm ring for hours and hours, but if God don't touch you and allow you within your soul, within your body, to rise and open your eyes, it won't happen. And for that, we ought to give thanks. Every day that we get up in the morning, we ought to give thanks to God for giving us and raising us up for a new day, a day that was not promised to us. For every night that we lay down, we ask God, now lay me down to sleep. I pray to the Lord my soul to keep. But if I should die, before I wake, I pray to the Lord my soul to take. That tells me that we don't know that we're going to get up unless God touches us in the morning. Well, going on with baptizing, you know, they say that you can go in a dry devil, get baptized and submerged in the water, and if you don't know why you went in there or you don't believe why you went in there, you just come out a wet devil. And there are so many people that has done just that. I got baptized for this or that, but being baptized now, you think that you've got to live a perfect life. Well, God left us a menu of the life that we need to live in order to make it to heaven. And that life is the Ten Commandments. You know, he knows that we're not going to do everything that we're supposed to do. That's why he is a forgiving God. And he says in the word, ask and I will forgive you. If you ask sincerely within your heart for forgiveness. You know, we got those Ten Commandments to live by. And sometimes we think, oh, you know, it ain't going to hurt me today to just take a little nip here and take a little nip there. Well, it may not. But you got to remember that your body is the temple of Christ. Your body is God. You know, it says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And you can hear people right on the church ground cussing and using the word that I would never use because I'm afraid to use them. I wouldn't use them anyhow. But because God said, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And every other word is GD this and GD that, you know, and they don't think anything about it. But yet and still, they up in the choir, they singing, you know, professing, they're getting happy, shouting. But yet and still, they're not living by that Ten Commandments. And I'm not going to say that the Ten Commandments is easy to live by. But you got to at least give yourself a chance to do what God said do in order to gain that place in heaven when there comes that time. You know, not only did he give us the Ten Commandments, he also told us to keep, be our brother's keeper. We be selfish about selves. You know, sometimes we'll ask, would you pray for me? You know, that's the preacher's job. That's not the preacher's job. The preacher's job is to tell you what thus says the Lord. As Christians, as brothers and sisters, that we unite ourselves together, as brothers and sisters, we should pray for each other all the time. When I hurt, you should hurt when it comes to being something that's spiritually. When you hurt, I should hurt. When it comes to knowing that I can fall on my knees and say, Lord, please, please, if it's in thy will, bless this member of my church. And then we talk about church. This is not a church, this is a building. This is where the church is. The church is within the body. The church is the body. There's so many beautiful buildings that call themselves churches. And you can find more hell being raised in that church that they call a church than the little church, the little white church set up on a hill. You know, God is not coming back looking for the mega churches. God is not coming back looking for the churches that gives the most money. He's coming back looking for the church without a spot or a wrinkle. And that only can happen when the people within that church believe that Jesus Christ is our own personal Savior. We talk about things that we would like to do or things that we're not doing. But with Christ, all things are possible. All things are possible. Sometimes you may not even know how you're going to make it through the next day. But with Christ, all things are possible. You know, I've been out on the highway, maybe coming from work, look down and there's a gas hand, the light just flashing and flashing, maybe 12 o'clock at night. And I found myself praying, Lord, please let me make it to the next filling station. You know, let me make it to safety somewhere. If this car is going to stop because I overlooked it, not putting gas in it before I went to work, before I got on the road. That's me. But you can ask God for anything and be sincere about it, and He will hear and answer prayer, no matter what it is. There is not a prayer too large for God to answer. There's not a prayer too small for God to answer. Now, we talk about not just being baptized, but the faith that go along with it. Just how great is your faith? And we all got faith. How do I know you got faith? Because when you came in this morning and you sat down in that chair that you're sitting in, how many of you examined it to see if it was broken? How many of you examined it to see if it would hold you? No, you had faith that it was going to, you was going to sit down and that chair was going to hold you. That's faith. If you got faith like that, you should also have enough faith, unseen faith, that you know that God can hear and answer prayer on no matter what it is. You know, sometimes we say that God probably gets tired of me answering for stuff all the time. But He says that I hear and answer every prayer. Faith of a mustard seed. Faith believing. Now, myself, I can use myself as an example. Back in 1976, I went to Dr. Crandall. Some of you all might even remember Dr. Crandall. Dr. Crandall said, "Milton, you're not leaving my office. You're going straight to the hospital." I said, "Why, Dr. Crandall?" He said, "Because you got jaundice." And I didn't know what the world jaundice was. I said, I don't know what that is. He said, "Your fingernails are yellow. Your eyes, your pupils are yellow." He said, "You've got yellow jaundice." And I said, "Why I got to go to the hospital now?" He said, "Because that's where you need to be. You need to be in the hospital." And being crazy as I am, I said, "Doctor, if you would let me wait to Monday, I'll go to the hospital." He said, "But today is Friday." I said, "Yeah, but doctor, you see, I work on the railroad, and Tams, Illinois is closing on Monday. I want to be the last engineer to pull a train out of that yard." And he said, "That don't make no sense to me. You going to put forth your health so you can say you pulled the last train out of a train yard?" I said, "Doctor, it means a lot to me. It means a whole lot to me." He said, "Milton." And the thing of it is, one of his nurses, Joanne, she had worked for the railroad. She kind of laughed, so she kind of knew. Joanne did. He said, "If you would promise me that, I'll do just that." Monday, I went to work, pulled the last train, made up the last train to be pulled out of Tam's yard. Got off early. Just like I promised him, I came right on back to Carbondale and told Corrine, "I'm going on to the hospital like I promised the doctor. I don't know what jaundice is, but evidently it sounded like it's pretty serious." I went on up to Memorial Hospital and got checked in just like I told him I would. That was on Monday night. Tuesday, Dr. Crandall came by and he said, "I appreciate you coming in. We're going to schedule you for surgery on Wednesday." I said, "Okay." Wednesday night, Tuesday, I prayed. Wednesday, Dr. Crandall came in late, too late for doing surgery. But when he came in that room on Wednesday night, he said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "What do you mean, what's wrong with me? You don't look the same." And I said, "I don't know what you mean." He said, "Your eyes are clear. Let me see your hand. Your fingernails are not yellow anymore." He said, "I know you had jaundice when you left there." He said, "I tell you what, you still scheduled for surgery on Thursday morning, but I'm going to go get John McGowan. I want a second opinion." So he went and got Dr. McGowan, and Dr. McGowan came to the hospital there, and he introduced himself, and he said, "Dr. Crandall, tell me you got jaundice." I said, I guess, I don't know what that is, but yeah, that's what he tells me. So he examined me and he said, I find no sign of jaundice in your body. And he told Dr. Crandall, said, Dr. Crandall, I don't see anything that looks like he got jaundice. So Dr. Crandall looked at me and he looked at Dr. John McGowan, and they turned to me and say, Milton, I know you were sick. What do you think would happen? I said, I serve a God. I know how to pray, and I know that if I get on my knees, even I can't get out of this bed, I can look to heaven, which cometh my help. I got a doctor of all doctors. And he said, you know what? He said, I don't know what you did or what you've been doing. He said, but whatever you're doing now, you keep on doing it, because whatever you was doing, you needed to stop doing it. And what had happened was, and I know this is church, but this story may also impact somebody else. I had gotten to be awful heavy in weight. So I decided that I was going to stop eating everything that I thought that would put weight on me. I stopped eating the bread and all of that. And what it was, all the weight and the fat was not going out of my body. It was going into my body. I lost the weight, but I was not going, it was not going out of my body like it should through the regular system. And he said, well, whatever you was doing, you need to stop doing it. And now what you're doing now, continue to do it. Well, at Thursday, when they let me out of the hospital, Dr. Crandall, he was smiling and going on. He said, what are you going to do now? I said, you know what, doc? I hear there's a smorgasbord over in Marion. I'm going straight to that smorgasbord. And that's what I did. I took him for his word. Well, talk about faith and prayer. I know God will hear and answer prayer. And this may not be the sermon that you all was looking for, but I know that there's somebody that's going to leave here a better person than they, because knowing that God will hear and answer prayer. There is nothing in your life at all that he can't take care of. One last story. There was this young lady, and her name was Alice. And we're going to say Alice Wright. Alice Wright was a mother of five kids. And I can remember her saying that she went to the grocery store and she said, told the kids, you know, we got Link or government subsidized. They had a card they could buy food, but that's the only thing they could buy was food. And she went in and she told the kids, she says, you know, all I can do for you all today is just buy a little food. And they said, why, Mama? She said, because tomorrow our lights are going to be cut off. We ain't going to have no way to cook. We ain't gonna have no way to see. And she got to saying to herself, Lord, I just don't know. I don't know what I've done so bad in life that I'm in this shape. And she was just walking along. The kids was walking along, picking up food. And there was this older lady in front of us. She was pushing her cart, had a pocketbook on her arm, and out of her pocketbook fell her billfold. Well, Alice was behind her, and Alice looked at the billfold. She picked it up, and she opened it, and there was all kind of money in that billfold. And she said, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I can pay my light bill. I can pay whatever it needs now. I just found a lot of money. And as the lady went on in front of her shopping, not knowing that she had lost her billfold, Alice kept looking at that money and looking at that money. And of course, she hadn't picked up anything different to put in her cart. And she looked at it and she thought about, I've been asking God to deliver me. I'm a believer. I've been baptized. I know better. So she caught up with the lady and she said, Miss, you dropped this out of your pocketbook. And the lady said, what? She said, I think this belongs to you. Alice gave it to her and she looked in it and she, all her money was still there. And she said, thank you. She says, this is a lot of money in this billfold. And I appreciate you being honest enough to bring it back to me. Alice went on with her kids and picked up just enough food that they could cook for the next couple of days. And as she checked out with her link card, or I think they call it something else other than link. Anyhow, the government paid for it, so she could buy that. But she just bought enough food just for that day because she knew she was going to be without lights. They went home, and the other lady was checking out as Alice and them started out the door, and she asked the cashier, "Do you know her?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, that's Alice." And she said, "Alice, yeah, that's Alice Wright." She said, "Normally they come in here and they buy so much food, they have two carts leaving out with it. And I don't know why today that they only just bought just a little bit." And she said, "I wonder, did they have enough money for food?" She said, "Oh, I don't know that." She said, "Well, does she stay around?" And she said, "Yeah, she stayed just around the block." She told her where she stayed, told her name. Alice and them went home, took their food out, cooked it as usual. She told the kids to eat, for tomorrow our lights will be shut off. We won't have a way to eat. We won't have a way to cook. We can't see how to do your homework. But she said, "I am a praying person. And God, if it be thy will, if it be thy will, help me." Well, the mailman ran the next day, and sure enough, there was this letter from the electric company. And the letter, as she opened it up, it said, "Due to insufficient payment on your light bill and electric bill, at the end of this working day, your service at this home will be totally cut off due to non-payment." And Alice said, "I knew it was coming, but I don't know how I'm going to tell the children." And as the mailman walked away, she just hung her head and prayed. And about 5 minutes later, the mailman came back. And she said, I found this down in my bag. I didn't realize I overlooked it." Well, he handed it to her, and it was another letter again from the same electric company. And she got to thinking, "But you done already told me my light's going to be cut off. Why are you sending me another one?" She got the bill from the electric company. She opened the bill, and the bill said, "Paid in full. Your electric bill has been paid in full." You got to believe that God will hear and answer prayer. See, she had no thought, but she remembered she was being baptized. And what was that song that we talked about? Yield not to temptation. That I talked to Laura about, yield not to temptation. She had the temptation to keep that lady's billfold and stick it in her pocket and go on about her way and maybe go pay her light bill herself. But she remembered, "I'm a Christian. Yield not unto temptation, for yielding is sin." Now, we don't think about the little bitty things being sin, but sin is sin. No matter what shape it come in, sin is sin. But if you believe that God will hear and answer your prayer, she might have went 2 or 3 days without an electric bill and something may would have happened. But because of the yield not to temptation that she can remember, she gave back that lady's wallet. And she paid her light bill. She probably never knew who paid her light bill. It doesn't matter who paid. All she knew that God heard and answered prayer. So what I'm saying to the church today, it doesn't matter if we don't belong to a mega church. We still know how to pray. God hear and answer every prayer. We have those that's among us that's sick. And it's not just enough to pray for our own sickness, for our own family, but let's be able to join. God said, "Where two or three touching and agreeing together, I will also be in the midst." So I'm saying to you all today, let's do what God has put on us, on our heart to do. Let's put together and join together in prayer and ask not just for ourselves, but for others as well. You know, it's a long, hard road to make it to heaven. And you're not going to be on there by how much you put in this plate. Believe me, I tried that. That don't work. But it's what you got in your heart and what you have for others that count. And whatever you do for Christ, it will last. You can build your house, you can build a mansion, but if you build it near the river, it may be built on sinking sand. And that mansion can become just part of that sinking sand. Let's build our faith and our hope and our Christianity on a solid ground. And that's by being able to call on Jesus in a time where we need him and when a time when we don't need him. Just giving him thank you and being the God that we look to. Now, I know you're not going to leave here shouting because this wasn't a shouting. And I ain't going to say it's a sermon. But I'll also say this. A lot of times we come to church, and especially at the church that I was in prior to it, I used to hear the people say, oh, he didn't preach much today. I didn't get nothing out of that message today. And they walk on away. Well, I'm going to say this, then I'm going to sit down. You see, Christianity is kind of like a bank. A church is kind of like a bank. Ain't none of you in here, I don't care how much money you got, if you ain't got it in the bank, in a bank account, you can't go to the bank and get none out. You have to put something in order to get something out. And all I'm saying is, don't go to church with an empty checkbook if you're not going to go from the heart, because you don't need a checkbook. You just need an open mind, knowing that God will hear and answer prayer. You have to put something in church in order to get something out of church. And that's the way I see it. And that may be wrong, but I mean, I would not say it unless God did not put on my mind to say it to us. It's not just enough to be a seat or a bench warmer, but we can confess to God within our own secret closet, God, help me to be what you would have me to be. Help me to be that person that I can walk among men, women, boys, and girls and be proud to say, I am a Christian. I am a child of God. Thank you.